Okay, turn your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Tonight's teaching title is A Listening Ears and Unrepented Heart. Is that our church phone? Yeah, it is. I'm buying lunch. Oh, church is buying lunch, I guess. Tonight, we will see only two people in this chapter. Two human. Young boy, young child, away from his own parents, away from the comfort of his own home, yet he's about to take the office of the prophet of God as he grows up. People around him surely knew that he, indeed his child is going to be the prophet of God. But the child first had to learn how to hear from God. Then there's another man. An aged man with the prestige, being the high priest of the Israel, there is no one higher than him. People thought that he had the ears and heart of God, yet he was far from it, because he chose not to hear from God, and he chose not to obey God. Let's stop and pray. Father, good to be in your house. And good to be in your presence. Though you are everywhere, it's special to come to church and hear from you. Let us be like Samuel, who hear from you and speak forth the oracle of God without any intimidation, but in love. And let us not be like Eli, who knows, who knew better, who knew the truth, yet did not obey. We want to do what Samuel did. Speak, Lord, for your servants' ears. We are opening our heart to hear from you. You engraved your truth in our heart, never to depart from our heart, and always have a heart of obedience to honor you with everything we have, every breath we have. We love you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 3 in 1 Samuel, please. Then the boy Samuel ministered, what is the next word? To. Would you note that word, please? Minister to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Stop there, please. Verse 1 says, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord. What is this preposition? Instead of saying not for, it says to. What's the difference between to and for? Don't look down. Don't read. Huh? What if ministered for God? One person at a time. For other people. Okay. And Manny? Same? Lori? Same? Okay. What about ministering to God? What would that be? So it's a personal then? Okay. Good answers. When we minister to the Lord, it means a personal and intimate relationship with Him. It is the highest calling for all of us. Welcome. Coming in. Coming in. Would you hand them a sermon note, please? You don't have to be a preacher or pastor to minister to the Lord. As a matter of fact, you can do this every day, anywhere, in any circumstance, by loving Him, worshiping Him, and most of all, obeying His word, and we can minister to the Lord. Amen? Verse 1, second half of verse 1 is a sad verse. Let's go back there. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. Because people were not listening to God, much like now, right? He was not forcing himself to speak to the people who choose not to hear. What about us? Are we listening to him? Sometimes? Not always? We should be? Why? Really? Wow. Yeah? You guys know your own heart. I know my heart. How often we contradict ourselves against the Word of God. All right, hear me please. In this room, there are many sounds. the sound of the jazz music, Latino music, and talk show, football game, and my wife's favorite music, country music, I'm going to get in trouble. And as well as sorry, the police department and Pima County Sheriff Department dispatcher's voice and the deputy's response, but we don't hear them. Why is that? Precisely. We are not tuned in. Requires a special way to tune into God's voice to hear from Him. Amen? How do we do that? Read Bible. Just read the Bible. Develop the relationship with God. Good. It has to be a habit. Hearing from Him has to be a habit. The more we learn to listen to Him, the better we get to recognize His voice. We're going to talk about that a little later. Let's go down to verse 2, please. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place. By the way, stop here for a moment. You guys are still preparing the interpretation before you come here, right? Right? Okay. From now on, you will. It's that way. At the end of the paragraph, I will ask you, what is your interpretation? I want you to answer me properly. I don't want you to summarize by observation. I want the interpretation. Not application, but interpretation. Back to verse 2. While Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." He said, "I did not call. Lie down again." He went and lay down. Then Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, and nor was a word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Then he arose, went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you did call me." I think he was a little bit irritated. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he called you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. I want you to go back to verse 9. Note the word, "Go lie down, and if he calls you," then another portion, "Speak, Lord," then another portion, "for your servant hears." All right. What is your interpretation here, please? Interpretation, please. Okay, what you just told me is observation. I'm asking for interpretation. Okay, getting there, good. Who else? Samuel did not know because he had never been taught. Okay, good interpretation. Yes, Manny? Who is he? Am I understanding correctly from what you said? He's starting to recognize the voice of God. Eli is discipling Samuel to recognize the voice of God. Getting there. Good. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Good. Thank you. Verse 3 says, "Before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord." Okay. What time would that be? It's a Bible trivia. Before dawn and night and 8 or 9 o'clock at night, prime time, TV show time. They didn't have a TV? Oh, okay. Jerry, 9 o'clock? Huh? Sunset? Okay. Okay, so what time? Early morning, before dawn? Before dawn. Because they have the, like he said, priests have the like the lamp inside of the tabernacle. And there is so much of that wick is there, and it burns through, and by the time before the dawn, the lamp will go dark. Just Bible trivia, not that important. Yeah, before dawn. It is important for those who are mature in the Lord to explain to the young Christian how to listen to God's voice and also how to recognize God's voice. Did you notice what Eli said to Samuel? Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. That is the right sequence, folks. God speak, we listen. We don't speak first and expect God to listen. We are not supposed to tell him what to do. I remember that there's old charismatic songs, tell God what you want. When we were down at the Inner City Harvest Church, is a part of the Assembly of God, boy, they sang that song like a chant. Tell him what you want, tell him what you want. He's the one who tell us how to live, what to do, because we are created for whose pleasure? Exactly. Yeah, now I remember. We are created for his pleasure, not him for our pleasure. Amen? Eli tells Samuel to make himself available to God, for God to speak. Go lie down. And Eli tells Samuel to not to be presumptuous about God speaking if he called you. That's very important. Eli tells Samuel to respond to the word of God. Speak, Lord. And he tells Samuel to humble himself before God and his word. Your servant hears. It's unfortunate that the English word hear is used. The better word would be listen. Because hear is hearing the sound. Listening is being attentive. Right? Almighty God still speak to us today. And try that next time. Okay, guys, listen. When you guys come to church, what do you expect? I'm asking to the right people. You guys come here to hear from God. But Sunday morning is a different crowd. They come because they want to chalk up the brownie. Some of them come to church to chalk up the brownie point from God. Some of them come because it's a thing to do. Or they were dragged by their wives or husband or parents. Next time whenever you come to church, expect to hear from God. Don't come here nonchalant and say, well, I'm going to meet people. This is not social gathering, even though fellowship is wonderful. Come here to expecting God to speak to you. And you'll be surprised how much you will hear from him if you expect from him. You know, I love that guy, but sometimes I like to shoot him. That's fine. It's not the first threat. Behave yourself, please. Diana, control him, okay? Verse 10. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore, I have sworn to the house of Israel, house of Eli, that iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by any sacrifices or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Okay, interpretation time. In this case only, that's a better interpretation. Good. Pat first. Okay, what did you, what, hold on. What is the interpretation of that? That's observation. Mm-hmm. What you made is an observation. Yes. Okay, you are in between the observation and interpretation. Push it to the interpretation. Okay. Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Give me the interpretation. I know, I used to, at the beginning, I didn't stop you guys from the summarizing things as just giving me the observation. But I'm pushing you guys to make an interpretation. Let's go deeper, okay? Observation is a lot easier. You cannot get the, remember what I said before? You cannot get an application unless you get the good interpretation. What do you see here? We see that God spoke to him, to Samuel. Okay, that's observation. Does God follow through his promise? Okay, now that's an interpretation. But another thing there, notice, you need to notice, is this the first time he spoke against Eli? Okay, this means there's a confirmation. God's word comes in a confirmation. First time and the second time with a confirmation. Okay, with that, in taking Eli's advice, Samuel began the lifelong career of relaying God's message to others as a prophet of God. As you guys already made the observation. Yes. Yes. In verse 10, it says, now the Lord came and stood. Who would that be? Which part of Trinity? Christophany. Yeah, Jesus. In the Old Testament, from time to time, we find that God made himself visible into human and conversed with them. In a fancy way to say it, Christophany, visible appearance of God, mentioned in Genesis 12:7. Remember, the Lord appeared to Abraham, conversed with him, and one of the things that we all know is, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you, right? Genesis chapter 12. Who else did he appear to? Can you remember? Jacob? And where? Any? Whack him upside the head. Good answer. Give a good, nice pat on the back, please. Yep. And Moses, where? Mount Sinai. I'm talking about Moses. All right. Well, yes. That's two. That too. Very good. I missed that one. It's only in the front of the Bible. All right. Who else? What? Genesis 1 and 3? Yeah, it's a Christophany. It is? Yeah. Does it mean the Trinity was not existing? Yeah. Before? Yeah. But still. All right. Go to anyone else to remember? Okay. How about Joshua? Before the Jericho? And who are you? Are you for or against? And he said, I'm the captain of the army of God. Who else? I'm pushing you guys. I know. I'm pushing you. Donkey. There was just an angel of the Lord. I'm talking about the angel. Huh? No, in the Old Testament. You gave him too much leeway in there. How about Samson's mommy and daddy? No, dude, you pull back a little. Before the Samson was born, conceived. Okay, we'll stop there. This time, God spoke to the boy's name twice. If it was a girl, he would call it once, like a Mary. But because the boys don't listen, he had to call twice. Not only that, the Lord came and stood near Samuel as he spoke to him. It was a manifestation at the presence of the Lord. It was not a vision. Because Samuel was obedient to God and Eli, he heard a message from the Lord and learned that what God planned to do. It was a weighty message to give to the for a young boy to the high priest. But in doing so, certainly God was rebuking the spiritual lethargy of the adult, because to which of them could God give the message, right? None of them would listen. Two sons of Eli, they could careless about God. And Eli, he's not going to do anything about it. So he had to bring the message to the ears that would listen. Then God could not find an obedient adult, so sometimes he had to call a child. Yep. When we are going off course, Heavenly Father will sometimes speak through another believers to reach us. Have you done that before? You thought that you're doing the right thing, and only to find out God is telling you through someone, another brother in Christ or sister in Christ, that you're going in the wrong direction. And as the proverb says, there's wisdom in the counsel of a multitude. Have a good Christ-centered people around you. It's important. Remember God's warning that was given to Eli by unnamed man of God, last chapter, who visited him a while ago? When speaking to us, God always confirmed his word again and again. Generally wrong to do something dramatic in response to a single inner voice from God. If God is speaking, he will confirm, and often in various variety of ways. What the Lord speaks to our heart never contradict his word. If so, somebody talked to you and tell you that they said that God spoke to me, but it's not in the Bible, then you stop that person, you stand up and walk away from that person. Because God never, never contradicts his word. He even put the word before his own name. Samuel did not know the message that unknown prophet delivered to him, to Eli. And the Lord would judge the house of Eli because Eli's two sons made themselves vile, and Eli did nothing to restrain them. Though Eli and his sons were priests, they could no offering, as we read, to atone themselves. They not only defiled themselves, but they had also defiled the priesthood. The Lord has a long suffering. He could have slaughtered them within a heartbeat, but he chose not to. Wonder how many times he waited for me to repent for the things that I've done, and later I will have to repent. God is not looking for availability as much as he's looking for availability. God is not looking for strong people. God is looking for weak people through whom he can be strong. That means every person is qualified to be used by God. That means God can use any one of us. Amen? Keep your finger in here and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, please. Some of you guys already know where I'm going. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. If you have not memorized this verse, I highly recommend to memorize it. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have words. And forget the other portion, but you can remember the first portion of verse 9. God is not looking, remember this, God is not looking for the ability. Rather, he is looking for availability. And if God is calling you, remember this, guys, God equipped those whom he called. Did you get that? God equipped those whom he called. All right, verse 16, please. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son, and he answered, here I am. And he said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all things that you said, he said to you. Verse 18. Then the Samuel told him everything, hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Did you get that? All right. Interpretation time. He failed. What? I hear you, but that's observation. I'm asking for interpretation. What do you get out of this? Yes, Jerry. Jerry, hold on. Okay, come on, bring it up a little more from there. Okay, you stop at the observation again. Say it again. You're at the doorstep of the interpretation. You're still not didn't go in. Unrepented heart. Unrepented heart. He could repent here. See the. Okay, let me ask you this question. Was the response of Eli to the message, was it active submission or was it passive resignation to the something that couldn't be changed? Yeah. Very good. The key point is what she said. He did not want to change. Could he change? Yes. Remember in Isaiah 36, I believe, Hezekiah had visitors. Envoys came from the Babylon. What did he do? He showed everything in the kingdom, didn't he? When Isaiah found out, Hezekiah, what did you do? What did you show to them? He said, everything. I did not hide anything. And that's when Isaiah said, the war will happen. I'm paraphrasing. Everything will be taken. What you show to those Babylonian people will be taken away from you. But it will not happen to you, but it will happen to the next generation. Do you know what Hezekiah said? He said, in my paraphrase again, he said, cool, it's not going to happen to me. And when I read that, I thought, what a scum. He doesn't care. My grandkid's going to go through a difficult time. Me generation, exactly. Eli was an old man who had not been a good father and no faithful priest. He already warned it once, and this is second time, and he had a chance to make it right. God had chosen Samuel to be the judge, priest, and prophet, so the light of the truth would keep burning in Israel. All the old man could do was wait for the sword to fall. And he could do what was right in the sight of the Lord from that moment to please the Lord by removing his two wicked sons. However, he didn't. He chose not to. That's another act of disobedience and omission by Eli. Are you with me on that? Remember what I said? There are two types of sins, sin of commission as well as sin of omission. The things we choose not to do, even though we are supposed to do, we know better. Disintegrating family is a rationalize a wrong behavior. Thereby, this become a part of a problem. Eli, hear me please. Eli participated in his son's bad behavior. And you may say, he didn't do anything. Yeah, he did. Remember, he was a fat man. He was eating the stolen food from the altar. And remember what I said, disintegrating family? Allowing the rest of people to do bad things, by doing so, they are participating in the bad behavior. But here, we find another Phineas in the Bible, in Numbers chapter 25. Phineas is one of the descendants of the Levite. Remember, somebody said a donkey, God spoke to donkey, Balak told Balaam, the prince of Moabite, how to defeat Israelis. What was the tactic? Send out the loose woman of a Moabite down to the Israel camp. While they're having sex with the Israel people, demand them to worship the Moabite God. And God of Israel will take care of the Israelis. Because idol worship. That's exactly what Balaam did. Balak did. I always forget which one is which one. One of those guys. One Moabite princess came down, and Israeli man took her to his tent in front of Moses and Aaron and all the other priests. to have sex with her. When Phinehas, the Levite, saw that, he picked up the javelin and make a shishkaba out of the both of them with one thrust. And the plague was going around in the camp. God, because of the one man's obedience, God stopped the plague. What do we get out of that? When the things are bad, one courageous person can stop the bad thing. In this case, Eli had the power, he had the position, he had the privilege to do it, but he again and again and again, he chose not to do unrepented heart, while the Samuel had the listening ears. Am I making sense? Verse 19. So the Samuel grew, the Lord was with him, and let none of his word fall to the ground. What does he mean? None of his word fall to the ground. Huh? Remember, he's a prophet. Whatever he said came true. Okay? And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, whenever you see it in the Old Testament from Dan to Beersheba, Dan is the northmost, northeast corner of the Israel. Beersheba is way down southwest of the Israel. So in other words, from corner to corner. From Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Verse 21. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Stop there again. Question. I don't want you to look down on the rest of them. Does God still speak to the people? Okay? Yes, he still speaks. If you choose to listen to him, you can listen to him. Issue is not if he still speak or not. The issue is, are we tuned into him? Because Samuel tuned into God, he could hear God. Why? Because he learned to love God and minister to him at his young age. I'm going back to what I said at the beginning. Unless we have a special way to catch jazz music, Latino music, all this different sound within this room, we don't hear it because we are not tuned into it. Unless we are tuned in to hear the word of God, God's word, we cannot hear from him. Yes, Manny. Yes. Here's another one. Yeah. Yeah. Spiritually as well as physically. Yeah. I believe you're wrong on that. Because he's, no, because I see the word again, appeared again. If it says just he appeared in Shiloh and he revealed himself and through the word of God, then I would agree with you. I'm using New King James. This one says, I'm using, it's a New King James. It says, then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. Okay. That's a minor thing that I don't think we're going to make a different denomination. Okay, good. Second question. Can we start to hear from him though we are much older than Samuel's young age? There's no age limit, is there? Good point. Very good point. Yes, if we are willing to hear God's voice, God is willing to speak to us personally and individually through his word. Okay, next one. Next question. Why is that Eli could not hear God? Why is that Eli could not hear God? He did not want to. Because God knew that Eli chose to ignore God's voice like his sons. God shall not speak to those who choose to ignore him. About us, are we ready to hear from him? Most of all, are we willing to hear him and obey him? That's the thing. Are we willing to obey him? Remember this, what the Jesus said, much is given, much is required. If you hear from God, God expects you to do things, as he said. And if you stop doing things, he will speak less to you. Pretty soon you won't hear from God. Just like Israeli did not have from God's revelation, God did not hear, have the God's revelation, for a long time, like here we just read, and that he did not spoke to them from Malachi until Jesus came, John the Baptist came. There was no prophecy was given for 400 years. All right, application number one. Let's learn to recognize his voice. Let's learn to recognize his voice. Application number two. We cannot always rely on our conscience as his voice. Many people think that, especially unbelievers and all the immature Christians, think that God speaks to them by an inner voice, by thought or feeling, whatever comes to in our heart and mind. And they think that God prompts them to do it. Is that good? Is there a certain way that God speaks to us? Feeling, thought, huh? Absolute. No. Okay, let me read it one more time. Most people believe God speaks to them by an inner voice, by the thoughts and the feelings which may come to our heart and our head, which one believes are prompted by God. But this hearing from God is uncertain. Don't trust what comes into your head at the beginning. Because we are not, God is not the only one who have a soul, who have a access to our thought and mind and feeling. Who has it? Satan has it. And who else? Ourselves. We can rationalize what we want to do if we want to. Exactly. We can literally override God and Satan both. Remember 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2 says, conscience can be what? Seared. Conscience cannot be trusted. Conscience is, as long as we follow God, conscience is good. But once we start to make a lame excuse and rationalize, conscience is the probably worst enemy we can find. Good example is Peter. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked the disciple at the Caesarea Philippi, who do you say that I am? What did Peter say? You are the Son of the Living God. And he got the A plus from Jesus. He was speaking for God. Am I correct? And the next moment, what did he say? Yeah, what did Jesus told him? Get behind me. And then he not only told him, he didn't say, get behind me, Peter. He said, get behind me, what? He went from the God's favorite to the Satan's favorite. Third application. When we hear his voice, let's not harden our hearts. Not like the unrepentant heart of Eli, but let's obey him. That's the key point. Obey. Amen?